Good evening and greetings again in Jesus' name. I've enjoyed the time here. Those who know me know that I like to put places and people with names, and I like to know when I hear about Fourth Avenue, I like to have a picture in my mind. And I enjoyed that again today, but I also was blessed. Between this morning and this evening, I've had a number of conversations with different ones of you that fulfills what we looked at this morning, that verse that tells us to exhort one another daily. And I feel exhorted, and our fellowship was good, and some things were talked about that stretched my mind outside of where I'd thought real hard before, and that's good. Thank you for that. Thank you for accommodations, Brother Tim and your wife and Tony's. Thank you for each one that had part. Like I said this morning, I was led to preach two messages that both of them are something that Jesus spent considerable time telling his disciples before he left. And the one we looked at this morning was, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." And Jesus was very jealous about that. And we can understand why. He knew what we're going to face and how many false teachers will arise. And he told us that that's what's going to happen. But Jesus also knew the tendencies of his disciples. And none of that changed until 2018. We have exactly the same tendencies as his disciples. And the one we'd like to look at this evening, you can turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus understands our tendency to lose our focus and to be distracted and to be maybe, the Bible uses the word sleepy. Matthew 24 and verse 44 is where I took my title from. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Therefore, be ye also ready. If we back up verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And I'd like to just read a number of these verses here. I believe it's two paragraphs I'd like to read, starting in verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36. "But of that day, an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Do we sense the burden that Jesus had for us? Watch, be ready. And I titled the first point, I have 4 points of the message. The first one, "For in such an hour as ye think not." We read verse 36, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour." Verse 50, "The Lord of that servant shall come." And in verse 51, "shall judge." It's not a question of if, it's just a matter of being ready, because we don't know when, Jesus says. If we back up, we didn't read it, but back in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And we could talk about that he's coming from the east, but "in such an hour as ye think not." And just as none of us has the ability to change where we are and dodge lightning, so none of us, no man, will have the time to change where he is when the Son of Man cometh. It's like lightning. It's too quick to change. "In such an hour as ye think not." Verse 39 says it's just going to be like the flood. "And they knew not until the flood came." 1 Corinthians says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 2 Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Jesus said that here too. It's if the good man of the house would have known when the thief is coming. Unexpected. He is coming. It will be sudden, and it is certain. Confession of faith says we believe in the personal, imminent coming of our Lord as the blessed hope of the believer, that we who are alive and remain together with the dead in Christ, who will first be raised, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus ever be with the Lord. That imminent word is a word we don't use very often. And I didn't look it up, but as I recall from memory, we believe that nothing holds him, nothing prevents the immediate return of the Lord, the personal return of our Lord. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not." There's more we could say on that, but I'd like to move on and look. Jesus makes it clear in these verses that not all will be ready. He says two will be in the field and the one will be taken. One is ready and one is not. And he goes on and he shows us that there will be a dividing. And there's various places the scripture shows us this. There are only two groups. Only two. There are only sheep and goats. There are only those on the right hand of the Father and those on the left. And here we have in verse 46, the last number of verses here, Jesus shows us that there are faithful servants and unfaithful. And the second part of the message is, let's look at the blessed servant. This servant is blessed, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Ready isn't... We heard this morning. I said we'd repeat some of these things, and I make no apologies. But ready and watching isn't like we do when we get ready to board a flight, and we're ready, and we make it to the gate, and then we sit, and we wait, and we relax. Being ready for the return of our Lord is a continual choice. It's a way of life. Jesus said in Luke 19, "Occupy till I come." What did Jesus tell us about this servant? Verse 45, the blessed servant is a faithful servant. And we understand that. Someone that can be trusted. Someone that is following the directions. Like Paul said, "Wherefore, my beloved, ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Are we faithful servants of Jesus in that way? Some of us are employers, and we know the difference between faithful and unfaithful. We know who can be trusted and who can't. As parents, there's times as our children grow up that we start to learn that they're to be trusted more and more. Are we faithful? Can Jesus call us faithful? Can he call us trustworthy? Can he count on us? He says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." He says in verse 45, this servant is a wise servant. He's not talking about IQ. He's not talking about some kind of education. He's not talking any of that. But I believe he explained to us in the Sermon on the Mount what a wise servant is. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Simple obedience. A wise servant is a faithful servant, an obedient servant. "If ye love me, keep my commandments," Jesus said. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." It says here that he has made him ruler over his household. I get the picture of a steward. And he expounds on this more in chapter 25. And I don't think we'll read that. But Jesus gives the picture of a man who has traveled to a far country, and he gave talents to his servants, varying talents, varying amounts. And when he came back, each one was accountable in direct proportion to what he had been given. We can apply this in different ways in our lives, talents. But as I look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was interested, and he met the needs of those around him, both physically and spiritually. And I believe as stewards, that's our calling, is to be stewards of what God has given us, to meet needs wherever we can, both physically and spiritually. God has given us different abilities and different talents, different amounts of earthly possessions, but we are accountable as stewards in direct proportion to what we've been given. When we think about the spiritual abundance that we've been given, and as we think about the how freely we have the Word of God, and how freely we have so many writings by those who are able to study this and help us to understand it. Those who are gifted with writing stories to illustrate Bible principles. Truly, we are more accountable than any past generation, aren't we? We are accountable, and we are stewards of every opportunity and our ability to take them or leave them. God will hold us accountable. And we are all given many opportunities. I want to look at that a bit at the end of the message. Jesus said in Luke 12, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And I'd like to just emphasize this verse again, verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Present tense action, right till his return. So doing. Let's look at the unfaithful servant, the evil servant. In verse 48, this evil servant says in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." These thoughts are brought to us, aren't they? And they're from Satan. It's a successful tactic of Satan. If he can get us to, in our hearts, start to think, like the scoffers, that all things continue as they were from the beginning, he delayeth his coming. Nothing's changing. What are some characteristics of this kind of evil servant? The first one I have is he doesn't feel any urgency. He justifies himself saying, I've got a long time yet. Some more convenient season. There's really no urgency to change now. Later will be easier. Can we identify, has Satan ever told you some of those things? He has me many times. And the older I get, the more I'm able to understand that they're false. There is no easier time. Later is harder. The longer we procrastinate, yielding our hearts, consecrating maybe a certain area of our lives, the more baggage comes with it. There's never an easier time. Every day that goes by increases that. It's a characteristic of an evil servant. I struggled with verse 49. This evil servant shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. How do these fit together? Jesus isn't talking here about the unreached and the ignorant, those who have never known him. He's talking about servants that have been given responsibility. They know better. But they've succumbed to Satan's lie, and they started to believe Satan's lie that my Lord delayeth his coming. But how does smiting our brethren and eating and drinking with the drunken, what is the relationship there? And I would say probably various ways we could understand that. As I studied this, I don't remember who had this thought, but I came across the thought that this thought of smiting our brother here could even be under the pretense of the authority of the gospel. Does this sound like Mennonites? Have you ever smitten your brother and used the Bible to back you up? I don't know if that's someone's thought, but it struck me. And as I thought through this, how many people can you think of that are today eating and drinking with the drunken? They're living a life of sin. And it started with smiting their brother on a church bench. Not accepting maybe the very help that was offered them. And I believe that if we start to tell ourselves, agree, or listen to Satan's lie that my Lord delayeth his coming, and we begin to smite our brethren, we open ourselves up to all kinds of other sins. And I can think of examples of this in my life, of people I know that this has happened to. Jesus says, this is a characteristic of an evil servant. Another characteristic of the evil servant is shown us in chapter 25. And maybe I just read some of these verses. Let's start reading in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And there's a lot of thoughts we could draw from this parable of the 10 virgins. But what really stands out to me is, I believe that all 10 virgins, to an observer, looked exactly the same as they waited. They were doing the same thing. They were waiting for the bridegroom. But five of them didn't understand the urgency and the importance of a full commitment and preparation. I've heard numerous applications to this parable. And one that I like is the thought that the oil represents the power and inner life that Jesus gives us. In that way, the five foolish can be likened to those who look just okay on the outside, but inner life was missing. They didn't have a fervent relationship with Jesus that is necessary to provide that inner power for the outward profession. And Jesus sees right through each one of us. Jesus knows. Jesus doesn't get caught up or gets tripped up by some outward show that looks really good. Jesus knows whether we have inner power and whether we're really ready. And I came across a thought that this lamp that they're holding can be likened to the front that we find so easy to put out to cover what's really inside. It's a characteristic of an evil servant, an unfaithful servant. When we're waiting for something and we don't feel any urgency or responsibility, we tend to get sleepy. We start to relax. And Jesus talked about this in the chapter we read this morning, Devotions, Mark chapter 13. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And that's a tendency we can all find ourselves guilty of. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. If we're sleepy, if we're relaxed, we don't sense the urgency that Jesus was giving to us. Watch and be ready, you don't know the hour. Another thing that happens, I'll go back to the airport. If you've got time to wait at the airport, I know lots of people have said, and I do the same thing. I start to watch, and I start to see what's all to see. And I've already gotten so distracted, I missed some announcements because I was watching and I was distracted. And I believe that fits in the Christian life. It's easy to become distracted by all the things going on around us. But when I recognize in my life that I'm distracted, don't I need to admit that the root of that is my Lord delayeth his coming? I've lost the urgency. I'm not grasping Jesus' burden to be also ready, for you know, we don't know the hour. In verse 50 and 51 just gives us a very descriptive and terrible description of the judgment of the evil servant. The last part of the message, I'd like to just look a bit at the command of Jesus, chapter 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore. And watching is a command that Jesus gave numerous times in the Bible. Watching gives us the idea of being awake, alert, looking with expectation, being aware of our surroundings and conditions. We're alert. We're watching. It's the opposite of drowsy and passive and unaware of what's going on. Watching servants are keenly aware that any sin will hinder them from going with the bridegroom. We will be alert for temptation, and we'll do everything we can do to flee temptation and to fortify ourselves, anything we can do to be overcomers. Jesus said in chapter 26 of Matthew, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Watch and pray. That's the answer to temptation. I'd like to read a few verses in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Again, let's catch the burden of Jesus as he speaks these words to his disciples and to us. Luke 21, 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And we read these verses, and we find it pretty easy to dismiss. We don't have a problem with becoming intoxicated and surfeiting. But I believe that the cares of this life are just as intoxicating, can be just as intoxicating as drink. And the thing about the cares of this life is we can't avoid them. We're responsible. We have so many responsibilities, and they're cares, and they're nothing necessarily wrong in themselves. But unless we handle them properly, unless we give them over to Jesus, they can intoxicate us. And they can bring us to the point that we miss it and that day come upon us unawares. "Watch ye therefore and pray always," Jesus says. It's the answer to the cares of life. We go back to Matthew chapter 25. And I'd like to read a number of verses here. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. We have here a judgment scene. Verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee and stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Watching And being ready for Jesus involves being busy, involves taking advantage of every opportunity that we have to meet someone's needs. If you're like me, you may have missed many good opportunities to visit others and to give and to serve because I was looking for something bigger. And I was missing all the small opportunities, everyday opportunities that were right in front of me all the time. And so, mothers, serve your children. Teachers, your students. Fathers, husbands, your wives. To the least of these, to everyone. Young people, to your siblings. Do these things. Meet their needs. Look for opportunities. As families, let's visit. Let's encourage other people. I don't see Brother Phil here this evening, but he told me after lunch, this congregation has been really good to me. Most of them visited me in Pittsburgh when I was in the hospital. God noticed. And as much as you've done it unto him, you've done it unto me. And there are so many opportunities, even right among us. There are those who, I don't know much about you here, but I am certain that at almost any given time in a congregation, there are those who are feeling overwhelmed with something. There are those that are feeling beat down and misunderstood. And maybe they feel like a failure. There are endless opportunities to refresh them with a cup of water. It doesn't have to be much. It means so much. This is occupying till I come. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The Bible makes special mention of widows and fatherless. There are special opportunities to meet the needs of elderly. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. It's good. It's good to reach out as far as we can, but let's not miss the closest opportunities that we have every day. And in closing, I'd like to just read three verses that we've read already, but they sum up the burden of this message. I believe they're all words of Jesus and the Lord, and they sum up the burden that Jesus has for those of us who are occupying till he comes. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's worth watching for. It's worth serving for. It's worth every effort can give it. And like Brother Harry has often said, we're way too close to give up now. Therefore, be ye also ready.